Ultimate Loyalty, Worship in a War Zone, Commentary for the November 15th, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. Joshua 4:19 and 5:10. After God divided the waters of the Jordan River, allowing the Israelites to walk across the riverbed, it seems inane from a military perspective what they did next. At Gilgal, with their first objective in the conquest of Canaan, Jericho, next door, they conducted a mass circumcision of all the males who had not been circumcised while wandering in the wilderness. While the procedure is quick, it is not painless, and adults can take anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks to fully heal. If the Canaanites had chosen to attack them, they would have been able to muster little resistance and could have been driven back into the Jordan. Arguments have been made that they would have been ready to fight and defend themselves after only 3 days. But that was not the case with Shechem, his father Hamor, and their entire town. 3 days after being circumcised, they were unable to defend themselves against only 2 of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, who killed them because Shechem had raped their sister Dinah. God seems to have protected his people during this time. After reports of the Israelites crossing the Jordan on foot circulated among the Canaanites, they were afraid to attack a people who had such a powerful God preparing the way for them. They had been following Israel's progress ever since Egypt, according to Rahab, the Canaanite prostitute who helped the Israelite spies. She told them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the 2 kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." Joshua 2 verses 9 through 11. Witnesses testified that God was fighting for Israel, and they were coming for the Canaanites. This was according to God's promise through Moses on the shore of the Red Sea. "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Exodus 14, verse 14. The Israelites had 4 decades of wandering the wilderness to drive this lesson home. It was a recognition of how vital God's presence was to them that led them to submit to the mass circumcision. They had come to believe that whatever God demanded was necessary for victory. Even 4 days later, despite the pain, they rose up to celebrate the first Passover in Canaan. God did not allow harm to come to them during the Passover in Egypt. He would not allow it here in Gilgal either. They celebrated faithfully on the 14th day of the first month. This was a high point of their conquest of Canaan, and the walls of Jericho collapsed before them later as evidence of their continuing favor. But as high points often do, they descended into a low and dark valley afterwards. Achan plundered Jericho despite God's command not to, and dozens of his fellow Israelites died when attempting to take Ai as a result. The covenant with God had been allowed to lapse in the wilderness, and the sign of that covenant, circumcision, was not imposed. But with the reinstatement of circumcision came reinstatement of the covenant. How sad that soon after its reinstatement, one man and his family turned their back on God for material gain. It is even sadder that a Canaanite prostitute had a better understanding of God than one among those who considered themselves God's chosen sons of Abraham. Achan and his household died for their betrayal. It may seem harsh to punish the entire family, but he could not have hidden everything in his tent without the family being complicit in the deceit. While tragic, after their death they felt no further pain. But the families of those who died because of Achan's betrayal would never forget the loved ones they lost because of that perfidy. The record of that betrayal has come through the centuries, that we might learn from that lesson. In contrast, the Canaanite prostitute Rahab married into Israel, marrying Salmon. From that union came Boaz, who married Ruth, a Moabitess. Eventually, through Jesse, came King David. Jesus the Messiah came, as prophesied, from that Davidic heritage. All eventually happened because a Canaanite prostitute had a more faithful relationship with God than did a family God, through Moses, had rescued from Egyptian slavery. Could it have been knowledge of this heritage that led Jesus to share the parable of the two sons? What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31. When we consider the hostility that exists between the people who call themselves Christian today and those they consider sinners, it is apparent we are failing to understand the depth of God's love for all. We would cast those we deem sinners from God's presence in a misguided attempt to purify the church, driving away those whom God is most earnestly calling and who are most eager to respond to that call. They are intimately acquainted with sin and its detrimental effects, including the hopelessness, depression, and despondency it induces. The slightest light of a caring heart would draw them from darkness toward that light. Unfortunately, that light is seldom found in churches where people are continually watched that they might be caught in a sin that would allow the church to cast them out. This is how the Pharisees treated Jesus, trying to trick him into blasphemy so that they could prove he was not really speaking for God and could safely be disposed of as a heretic. We deceive ourselves if we believe that Pharisees are no longer around. God has told us that he takes no delight in the death of the sinner in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. If that is the case, why do we, who claim to be his followers, take such delight in driving them away? If we do not think this is what we are doing, then why are they entering the kingdom of God ahead of us? It is because they have learned that loving the banned thing is no answer to their need. It only brings emptiness to their being. Those pathways no longer have the allure for them that they once had. They are like the prodigal who thought a hedonistic lifestyle would bring him happiness and spent his inheritance pursuing it. When realization dawned, he was ready to come home to the lifestyle he once spurned, even to the point of being only a servant in his family home. Glad to have regained his lost son, the father welcomed him home with joy, but his brother was not happy to see him. Not having seen the folly of what the world offers us, he was jealous of his brother's experience and refused to even enter the house to welcome him. He was like the church member who would drive out the repentant sinner because that sinner had not suffered enough to earn the right to enter God's kingdom. Jesus told of a Pharisee visiting the temple while a tax collector was also praying there. He prayed to thank God that he was not like the sinners, or worse, like the tax collector. But the tax collector, recognizing his own sins, requested God's mercy and did not compare himself to others he deemed less worthy. In relating this story, Jesus tells us that it was a tax collector, not the Pharisee, who found grace before God, according to Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. The tax collector, unlike the Pharisee, believed God loved him, not because of who he is, but because of who God is. and he claimed the promise of that love. Every moment we spend focusing on the sins of others is a moment lost, where we could have been loving God and loving others, as the Bible has often told us to do. God modeled that love to us throughout its pages. He created us in his loving image, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. He revealed it through the incarnation of Jesus to help us find our way home. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3, verses 16 and 17. Would we trade such deep love for tawdry material goods as Achan did? What a poor bargain that would be. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website, www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to other articles and to books written by the author. Once again, that's Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.